On this episode of the Florida Dirt Bike Radio Show, we'll be speaking with Ben Parsons. Ben's coming off his number one ride in the A-Open class at the Snowshoe GNCC, and he was top amateur as well. So we talk about his GNCC season so far, recovering from injury, and his plans for the summer break. As always, like us on Facebook, Florida Dirt Bike Radio Show, and follow us on Instagram, Florida Dirt Bike. And as well, check out our website, www.whiskeythrottlemedia.com. Our podcasts are available there, and they're available on the Stitcher app. We should be on iTunes next week, working out the kinks with that, kind of going back and forth with Apple right now. So we're hoping we'll be on iTunes soon. Enjoy.
Okay. Yeah. Day after day.
On the line with me today is Ben Parsons. How you doing, Ben?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, I just gotta say congrats on that top amateur at Snowshoe, West Virginia, too. But, you know, that's gotta be a tough one.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. It was not one of the first places I expected to get my first top am, but, you know, I'll take it for sure.
Yeah, man, I was in the airport headed to Tennessee on Friday and Saturday, and then on Saturday too, I saw a bunch of Facebook videos of it pouring down rain there. I couldn't imagine how gnarly it was.
Oh man, on and off all weekend it rained. As we were going to the line, everyone was huddling their umbrellas because it was like misty rain as we started the race. You know, it was the conditions are far from prime, but you know, that's the NCC.
Hey, yeah, exactly. You know, you never know what to expect. Why don't you just take us through your race a little bit?
Oh, well, I need to see how it works is five riders each row, and it's a live in and start, which is different, you know. So I was the second row for Open A. I got going pretty quick and was able to jump in the second within, like, the first mile. I was able to pass a few guys and just kind of started chugging along. Hooked up with some really good riders like Jason Rain a little bit, Chris Bach, and the last lap that Pascal Rockenecker, and just kind of learned a lot from them, you know. Not the terrain I'm the most comfortable in, but it was about as smooth of a day as you can have it. Sniffs you for sure. So, it was good.
Yeah, smooth and Snowshoe don't really mix well. I raced it back in 2010. I raced the 10 a.m. race. And after 4 miles, I decided I was over it and rode the highway back. So I know very well how rough it is.
Yeah, that's. I'm not going to lie. There's been times I've been there and wanted to do the same.
Yeah, man. So, hey, just looking at the overall here, man, 18th overall. That's impressive, man. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Is that your best overall so far, ever?
Yeah, that's my best finish so far, for sure.
Man, who would have thought a Florida boy growing up in the sand could go out there on a ski resort and mix it up?
Yeah, man, just like Orlando, just more mountains, rocks, and roots.
Definitely. Well, hey, man, so this season, obviously, you got a little bit of a late start. You had a little injury to begin?
Yeah, I got injured, I think, about 10 days before round one. Bit of a embarrassing story, but kind of put a halt to the beginning of the season pretty fast. And, it's kind of been playing catch-up ever since.
Yeah, man, I talked to Dylan Rash not too long ago, too, and I was pretty bummed for both of you guys because I know how much work you guys put into the season. Just for it to, you know, kind of all wash away there at the beginning. You were lucky enough to only miss three races. You know, Dylan doesn't race yet. So, but it's still tough, you know, especially you know, you've had 3 second place finishes, you had a third, a sixth, and now a first. So you'd be right there in the points, you would think, if you were at those first three.
Yeah, I'd love to think so. Luckily, I've had a pretty consistent year so far, except for that first race back with the sixth. But just trying not to even think about it, just racing forward and not even bumming myself out about the first three I missed. You know, just enjoying the races I'm getting to.
Exactly. So are you traveling back to Florida after each round? Are you staying somewhere up there? What do you got going on?
Well, actually, after Cam Coker, I went to my good buddy Thad Duvall's house, and I lived with him until yesterday, or this morning, I'm sorry. I'm actually in my van driving back to Orlando right now as we speak, but yeah, from round five to I was living in West Virginia with Thad.
It seems like you guys have a pretty good group living up there. You got some fast guys up there riding?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just riding with Thad, for one, you know, is awesome. And then Jesse Ansley, a good friend of ours, was about 20 minutes up the road for a lot of the time. So we would all get a hold of each other and either cycle or ride a good bit. So it was fun. We had a lot of talent real close, and we're all pushing each other week in, week out.
And so, you know, I find it so interesting how it seems like the Florida boys are really killing it up there. I mean, as you know, Bryce Koster, he's won 4 races in A Open this year. He's doing awesome. Jesse's killing it in XC3. Landon Lynn's been racing pretty good. Then Dylan Rash should be coming back soon. Why do you think that is, man?
You know, I've thought about that a lot, to be honest with you. I think it's not just all coincidence, though. I think that we have some gnarly local races. I've done a few local races in, like, North Carolina, West Virginia, Indiana, and they're tough, but I think FTR just kind of gives you a little bit of grit, you know? Racing sand whoops and heat, like, as a normal thing, is not normal for those guys. So when you kind of get that grit and that fitness built up, I think that it's easier just to push through other obstacles, you know, like rocks or roots or stuff like that. That's just what I think. I don't know if there's any truth to that or what, but there's definitely a few Florida guys doing pretty good this year. Even Blake Yaris and little Jimmy on the 65 is doing awesome this year too.
Yeah, you know, that definitely makes sense. And then, you know, another thing is you guys all race each other when you're down here too. So you're all pushing each other year round, you know, even when it's the GNCC off season. You guys are, you know, riding your asses off in Florida, you know, you, Bryce, Dylan, and Jesse.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure that's a factor as well.
So you've been doing GNCs for quite a while now. How long did it really take you to adapt to, you know, all the different terrain and, you know, going from sand one weekend to clay the next weekend to muddy rocks? How hard was that for you?
My first full year was 2013, and I was a 250B, and I won that, so I thought I had it. I thought I adapted pretty quick, and then I moved up to the A class and kind of had a culture shock real quick, you know, kind of realized how fast the boys ride. And I'd say it took at least a full year in the A class before I started to ride confident, you know, in all different terrain. So it definitely took some time.
Yeah, it's one thing to, you know, ride and all that different stuff, but then, like you said, when you get to the A class and everyone's going so fast, it's another thing to, like, race it and race it competitively and, like, the rocks and the clay and all that.
Yeah, for sure.
So you were third overall last year. 2017, you had 2 wins. But the year before that, 2016, you had a gnarly leg injury, man. I was there. I was right in front of you when that happened. It was pretty bad. Talk a little bit about that and how you recovered from that.
Yeah, 2016, Hogwaller got taken out pretty good and broke my left leg and got compartment syndrome and was in the hospital for like 13 days, 4 surgeries, skin grafts later. I made it out and was off the bike for about, I think it was right at 10 months. And that was tough. That was the longest I'd ever been away from a dirt bike since I started riding one. So it took a long time to get feeling like myself again. And then, and just a lot, just to kind of get your head back into it too, you know, your timing is a little bit off. And I don't know, it's just, you're not as sharp as you were when you were riding every day. So that was a tough one to come back from.
Was there ever a time right after it happened that you thought you might be done riding dirt bikes, or were you just, you knew you were going to get back out there?
There was a couple times. I don't know if it was the meds or what. Anymore, and then as soon as I woke up the next morning, I'm like, what was I talking about, dude?
Yeah.
I know I'll be back on this bike like as soon as I can. So it crossed my mind for a little flash, and I know it's gone.
Yeah. Hey, you know, us motocross riders are pretty hard-headed. You know, it's really interesting how someone will get hurt like you did, or any, a lot of other people, and they'll list off their multiple injuries, and then at the end of their post on Instagram or whatever, it'll be like, I should be back on the bike in 3 to 4 months. You know, like, it's like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's an addiction for sure. So it's can't just stop, you know.
No, for sure. I agree.
So your brother Luke used to race XC2. He's not really racing anymore. But how much does he help you out? Not so much just riding, but like keeping your head in the game and the other stuff, you know, riding at that level.
Oh, for sure. He was a fast kid, you know. So he's got a lot of like kind of race craft and race wisdom, you know, to feed over to me. Or if I'm in a bad race, you know, he knows how to pick me up and give me a pat in the ass and get going again. But another thing is he's really good at working on bikes. He's a really good his mechanic, not even trying to be. So he helps me out, get my bikes ready, you know, a lot of the time. And that's a huge help, you know.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think a lot of like top motocross and off-road riders probably aren't the best mechanics, but it's definitely good to you know, find one that is. That way, he can help you out working on your bike, and then he'll be there at the track with you, helping you out riding as well.
Yeah, you know, it's cool to have a brother that's already done everything you're trying to, or ever done everything you've done at this point, you know. So he's been there and. Nice to have someone to ask. You know?
Yeah, he knows what you're going through and what you're trying to do every weekend. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's take it back a ways. How did you get into riding dirt bikes? How'd that all start for you?
Oh, well, I've got two older brothers, and my dad used to race as well. So since I was, you know, out of the womb, I was just around dirt bikes the whole time. So I just kind of wanted to be like big brother and got on a little bike at a pretty young age. Really just wanted to beat my brothers. That's it. I just want to be faster than them. So I just kept racing and racing and then I just love it, man.
Yeah, it's always, you know, I have a little brother too, so there's always big, it's nice when you have a, you know, a little sibling rivalry. It kind of keeps you going and keeps you riding hard.
Oh, for sure.
So when did you, you know, make the decision that you were going to start doing GNCC full time, and kind of pursue this whole off-road thing?
2012, me and my dad, my brother, were talking about how we wanted to ride outside of Florida a little bit, you know, see something other than sand. And we decided we'll do the last four GNCC in 2012. And we kind of got hooked, you know. It was just, there's a whole nother platform of racing, you know, just so many fast guys, such gnarly tracks, and we're like, well, let's do the whole thing, 2013, and then one thing led to another, we snowballed into doing it every year.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I talked to Bryce and Dylan, they pretty much tell me the same thing. They try it out for a little bit, and they're hooked, you know, kind of like anything else in dirt bikes. You know, you do your first race, and next thing you know, you're doing the whole series. You know, you do your first out-of-state GNCC, and next thing you know, you're traveling to West Virginia racing on a ski resort.
For sure. Yeah, there's always something else to tackle with dirt bikes, you know. Mm-hmm.
So this was the last race before the break. You don't race again until September up in New York. What are your plans for the break? What do you got? Anything big planned or just kind of keep grinding away?
So I'm doing the National Enduro Series as well.
Okay.
I think I've got 3 Enduros in between the break. So I've got one, not this weekend, but the weekend after, and then 2 more after that. So it'll kind of be business as usual. Going back home, going to go to work, try and make up some money and ride, hit some Enduros, and then, not much is changing. Just looking forward to that start of the GNCC again.
For sure. So besides riding up there with all those fast guys and without giving away all your secrets, what else do you do for training off the bike?
Off the bike, we do a lot of cycling, you know, mountain biking and road biking, but a lot of seat time as well. I think that's one of the big things that helps, just riding the bike, but for sure, put in some time on the mountain bike and the road bike.
Definitely. And when you're not training hard and ripping out motos, what else do you like to do besides getting in airsoft or what are those Nerf gun fights besides that?
yeah, those Nerf wars, man, they're something else. But for sure, we do a lot of fishing, you know. And to be honest, me and Thad, I've kind of like, we really enjoy cycling now too, so it's almost like a release in itself as you're training. But yeah, like a lot of hunting, a lot of fishing, a lot of just hanging out with friends, you know.
Definitely, you guys got a lot of exposure on one of them social media sites, didn't you, for the Nerf Gun Wars? I forgot which one it was. It was on one of those.
Dude, bands. I got on 5th year. The Instagram account from being shot with a Nerf gun like 1,000 times.
I know, man. It was so funny when I saw that.
Dude, funny's one word for it. Every race I get to now, everyone's like, "You're the guy that shoots with the Nerf gun." I'm like, dude, my name's Ben. Don't refer to me as Nerf boy, all right? I'm not cool with that. But no, it's funny. It's all fun and games. But for sure, didn't expect to be going viral for being shot with a Nerf gun.
Yeah, man, you're Instagram famous now. You're a big shot.
Yeah, where's my check?
So who's helping you out getting all these races?
Oh, for sure, Mom and Dad. That's number one support right there. They've been behind me since day one. But there's a lot of people that go into, you know, even for just the amateur level. Mm-hmm. It takes so many people to feed to the race, you know. Racing motocross, the Duval family, they're huge, man. They're like my second family. Let me stay and live there, and they feed me. And Chad Duval, that's dad, a lot of times he helps work on my bike as well. So outside of industry sponsors, I've got a lot of really great people behind me, just getting me to the track.
Yeah, man, I think Thad's probably my favorite XC1 guy now, just because, you know, I think it's awesome how he lets you guys go up there and ride. I mean, I'm sure it benefits him, you know, to, you know, ride with other fast guys, but it's always cool to see you guys up there and him kind of giving you that hospitality.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Just a bunch of guys that like to ride their bikes, you know.
How did you get in touch with Thad? How'd that all come about?
I posted a video on Instagram, like, I think it was like 2013. I mean, riding some sand track, and he DM'd me and was like, "Where is this at?" And I was like, "Thad Duval just texted me." And I got his number, and we rode together a few times that winter, and then he invited me up to come stay at his house that summer. And I went up, and we've been sharing houses with each other ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I'm sure he appreciates you helping him out when he comes down here in the winter riding some sand. So, you know, for him to repay the favor is pretty great.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So 4 rounds left. What are your goals for the rest of the year? What are you going to try to achieve in the last 4 rounds?
I really just want to carry this momentum I got moving a snowshoe, you know. I'd love to click off some more wins, more top amateurs, and just try and turn some heads before the season's up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that's with missing the first three rounds, you know, that's all you can do. And, you know, I think, do you think it kind of takes the pressure off you, knowing that, you know, you really can't win the championship now that you missed those rounds of the injury? So, I mean, does that relieve the pressure just go out there and ride and have fun and get those wins?
At first it did, but in GNCC, if you're an amateur, you actually get to throw away four races.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I can throw away the three I missed and one more. So if I'm able to kind of kill it from here on out, there is a shot at the championship, a slight one. So
okay.
That's in the back of my head, but it's not, you know, on the front of my list. I'm just kind of going from race to race and having fun. And I think that mindset helps you if you're in, you know, a championship hunt or not. Mm-hmm. Just kind of put that in the back burner and go race to race. So
yeah,
definitely,
man.
Not stressing myself out.
Yeah, man, you're gonna go, you know, your fastest when you're having the most fun too. So I didn't know that about the drops. I thought you guys just got one, so that's really interesting. So yeah, you're right up in there. You know, that's really good.
Yeah, it's fortunate for a guy like me right now.
So I mean, I know this is really early, but for next year, we go in XC2, we stay in an A Open. Or are you just taking it race by race till the end of the season?
I thought about it a little bit, but really I'm just kind of right dead in the middle on what I want to do. I'm a pretty big guy for a 250F. I haven't spent much time on one, so I don't know how that would go. But, I mean, I'd love to go to XC2 if I'm ready for that, but if I'm not, I don't want to, you know, make that jump too soon. But I'm just kind of see how the last four races go and just go from there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hey man, if you just keep creeping up to that top 15 overall, you know, you never know what, you know, who you're gonna be beating and stuff. So that you can ride 252 two stroke in XC2 though, right? That's, you can do that in GNCC.
Yeah, you're right, that is correct. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Well, all right, Ben, thank you so much for doing this with me. You drive safe coming home from West Virginia. Where are you at right now? How much longer you got?
I've got like 3 hours and 20 minutes left. I'm about to hit the Florida border.
Okay, that's not too bad. Could be worse.
Could be worse, that's for sure.
All right, buddy. You drive safe. Have a good night.
All right, thanks for having me.
Yep.
See ya.
See ya. We are all